Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Too often we fear saying the words, "I don't know." Perhaps a fear that saying these words will diminish us, undermine our status, keep us down. But as Leah Hager-Cohen argues in her new book, I Don't Know, in praise of admitting ignorance, except when you shouldn't, saying I don't know can actually liberate and empower. Rather than hold us back, admitting and acknowledging our limitations allows us to learn, connect, and grow. It's a pleasure to welcome Leah Hager-Cohen to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
What brought you to this idea of I don't know?
Well, I had been conscious for a while as a college teacher that many of my students seemed to be putting energy into displaying knowledge rather than feeling comfortable with admitting maybe they didn't fully understand something. So I was conscious of trying to bring into the classroom culture in which we all would feel safe owning up to what we didn't know, and in which we could all then take the process of inquiry a little further.
When we talk about that process of inquiry, how does that naturally follow up the admitting I don't know?
I guess asking questions comes from a given, which is that we don't have the answers to those questions. But whenever we're in an environment where we feel pressure to fake knowledge, to fake having the answers, it kind of cuts us off at the knees from getting to that sort of, tabula rasa place of being able to say, I really don't know. I'm at the beginning of this journey of investigation. I don't feel apologetic for not knowing. Instead, I'm going to use my curiosity as a tool for expanding my receptivity to learning.
I was fascinated in the book about how you clear up this notion, because it's something that, because we can say, if somebody asks us right off the bat, okay, who is the 19th president of the United States? And you can say, I don't know, or you can bluff. But that's different than saying, I have a choice of doing this or this, and I don't know which is the right choice.
Right. So that's a whole other arena in which the words I don't know take on a different meaning. As you pointed out, in some situations, a clear answer may not be knowable. We might simply have to deal with uncertainty being the reality. And that's scary often. But then I guess once we are able to acknowledge that a certain amount of uncertainty might be at play, at least then we can be prepared to make the best decision we possibly can, even though we know that decision will be incorporating a certain amount of uncertainty and risk-taking.
Right. And you write about risk in the book, because that's a part of it.
Yeah. And one thing I discovered in interviewing people for this book was that there are really many different kinds of risk. So one kind is risking social standing. You know, sometimes we fake knowledge out of shame or out of fear that we're going to be dismissed by the people we're with, you know, if they might think more poorly of us if we admit not knowing something. But there are other kinds of risk as well, including the risk that we might simply make a wrong decision, because sometimes we have to make decisions in the face of uncertainty.
That notion of fake knowledge that you mentioned, an example that you have, if somebody comes up to you and says, have you seen Casablanca? And you say, oh, yes, I love Casablanca, because you know it's a classic film, but you haven't seen it, but you feel odd admitting that you haven't. What is there in us that makes that such a common scenario?
Right. Well, there's shame. And I don't know if that's innate, but what I did discover was that really even very young children are capable of feeling ashamed of owning up to not knowing something. And really young children are capable of recognizing that the people in power, you know, whether it's their parents or teachers or the grown-ups in their lives, of recognizing that power is often associated with knowledge or the appearance of knowledge.
What I have found is that often it can work as a positive, where you say, okay, you acknowledge, yes, I've seen Casablanca, I love it, and then people will go on to say, and then a mental note is made, and then you go back and you watch Casablanca. So there's a positive that comes out of that. Is that the norm?
Well, I guess if you get the message in a conversation that there's this movie, Casablanca, that might be worth your seeing, and it then gets you to go back and watch the film, that could be a positive. But I would question whether it would be any less of a positive in that situation to say, you know, I've never actually seen that movie, but thanks, now I'll go check it out. You know, and I think that another positive that might result from that scenario is that there's more honesty in the conversation, so that whoever was talking to you about that movie in the first place, when you make yourself vulnerable in the sense of revealing, I never saw it, there's a kind of trust that grows out of that, and the person you're in conversation with might suddenly feel more able, more at ease to reveal their own vulnerabilities to you.
You put this question into a political setting, and one that I find fascinating, of what would happen if the president was celebrated rather than criticized so heavily for saying, you know, I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. I don't know.
Right. And I think that politics is an especially interesting case where we might recognize that it would behoove us all to be governed and led by people willing to acknowledge their limitations and willing to entertain doubt. But at the same time, it seems to me that as voters, we're rarely willing to cast our vote for someone who doesn't consistently portray themselves as being, you know, certain and having an answer for everything. And I think that's a dilemma for us, the American people. You know, I think it would be great if we could figure out a way to value honesty about uncertainty in our politicians.
The subtitle of the book is In Praise of Admitting Ignorance, Except When You Shouldn't. So when shouldn't you say, I don't know?
Yeah, so going into this project, I didn't anticipate that I would hear stories from people about this flip side, and that was really interesting to me. What I learned was that sometimes people say, I don't know, not out of honesty and a willingness to make themselves vulnerable and a willingness to be open to new ideas, because I think those are all positives. But sometimes people say, I don't know, with an opposite motivation. Sometimes people use those words to shirk responsibility and to seal themselves off from knowledge that would expand them as individuals and also entail their being more responsible for learning more about various subjects. So anytime we say, I don't know, as a way of burying our heads in the sand, I think that's an abuse of the phrase.
And as you point out also, is when we use it as a cover-up or as a way of denial.
Yeah, and I think not only do we hurt our relationships with people when we use it as a cover-up or in denial, but we're hurting our relationships with ourselves. You know, there's a kind of internal shame. Even if we never get caught out faking it, deep down inside, we know if we've done that. So I think there's a personal cost to going around putting energy into faking things.
The name of the book is I Don't Know, In Praise of Admitting Ignorance, Except When You Shouldn't. The book is published by Riverhead Books. Leah Hager-Cohen, I thank you very much for spending time with us. It's a great pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is I Don't Know. It is published by Riverhead. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.